All right, everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. I'm your host, Jordan Prince, and please, I hope to the Jesus above that you are watching this on YouTube if this ever comes out. More than likely, you are simply listening to this wherever you get your audio podcasts. I've made that promise before, and what's the expression? Like, don't write checks that you can't cash. What's it? Don't write checks that your wallet. Don't write checks your wallet can't cash. I forgot the expression. But basically, in terms of telling listeners over and over the years that I have filmed myself and I intend to put this on YouTube, is basically a stack of checks in the corner that my friend would bounce like Big Frida. Okay. Booty 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 booty. Okay. Anyway, so we're going to just hop right into it today. I guarantee that this will just be at least audio first before it ever becomes video because, who knows what my day might look like? Who knows? I don't know. No one knows. But I think I have a good angle here. You know, I have this new Sony camera, and this would be a great goal for me to just like kind of constantly use this angle, this framing, you know, this lighting. I mean, hopefully, I don't know. I shot like my first official YouTube video not too long ago, and my friend Ben very kindly offered to edit it for free, which I'm so grateful for because editors, you know, they're expensive and sometimes you don't really click with like their flow, and it's kind of like, you know, finding the right editor is kind of like, like finding the right babysitter or like finding the right the right doctor, because, you know, maybe you like a doctor, but they're not in your network, so you're paying just a tremendous amount of money that is not sustainable based on your income, or, you know, you can afford a doctor, or like the insurance will pay. You know, this is like America talk, because in Germany it's like the insurance will cover the doctor. But maybe you know, go to a doctor in the States and it's like, oh, there's like a so-and-so deductible. But then you don't like the doctor because they come in like smoking a cigarette.
So says on your chart here, what's this? Did you fart?
You're sitting there like in the little gown with your butt out and you're like, no.
Look, I'm your doctor. You got to be honest, okay? You're going to have to be honest with me. Did you rip ass? Did you toot? Why are you leaving? You just going to toot and scoot?
Yeah, well, anyway, knocked over my water bottle. That's kind of what finding a good editor feels like. Either they're affordable and they ask you, why did you pull a toot and scoot? Or they're perfect. And like, so, Mr. Prince, looking at your chart and your medical history, it would appear to me that we should just do an examination, which won't be harmful, and your insurance will cover the whole thing. But then you find out that the insurance doesn't cover it, and it's like, oh, so sorry. You're going to have to pay
$8 million.
It's a whole thing, finding the right editor. But Ben has very kindly offered to edit my first, like, you know, YouTubery YouTube video, which is really great because I think we have a really similar taste and we have a really similar humor. Which, by the way, my friend Ben, the editor, is the producer and, you know, main sort of instrumentalist arranger. Producer of a band out of Regensburg called Moonmates with his wife Gloria, and we released a song in 2021 called Pieces. One of my favorite songs to have collaborated on. I think we were talking about collaborating on doing some song, or maybe I think maybe we were discussing it, and then one day I had written this kind of folksy song, which is very much my style, and I sent it to him like, "What do you think? Maybe something in this vibe." You know, I didn't really know what he would do with it, but then he really, sauced up the chords and made it so groovy and rhythmic and added these harmonies and everything with Gloria and this bridge that I hadn't, originally written. And then he made the music video from scratch, which is just bananas. So, if you haven't seen the Pieces music video or heard the song, go ahead and do that. So shout out Ben Hoff. Much love. Can't wait to see where that goes. Also, just speaking of YouTube, because of what I'm doing right now, the stand-up comedy show that I, from October, I keep bumping the table, which is also bumping the camera, sorry about that. The stand-up comedy show that I did on tour in 2025 culminated in me filming two performances at the Werk 7, the Work 7 here in Munich, and that is also being finished now. I just saw the last draft today. It's so funny watching so many drafts of yourself perform the same jokes over and over. There's a little gap where you like how it sounds, how it flows or whatever. And then there's like a big window of time where you just can't stand yourself. So what I did was watched it back on 2x speed. So it's like, it's like a really weird feeling, but I was like, I just can't keep watching this in on 1x speed. Like, I can't just keep watching this in real time. I have to speed up this process, just get it rolling, anyway, that's going to be done pretty much, I would say, like in the next week. So that'd be cool to look forward to. I'm going to promote that and put that in the show notes when it's done. If you have not seen my very first stand-up comedy special, it is the highlighted video on my YouTube channel. So go check that out if you haven't seen that already. It's from the 2024 tour. The 2024 tour, Hold the Door. And yeah, this year, I'm curious what people's New Year's resolutions were, what their projections were for the new year. I keep thinking about my screen time. Do you guys, probably not a lot of my listeners, but maybe some, do you guys struggle with just an absurd amount of screen? Like, I almost feel like tormented or like mocked by my iPhone when I think it's every week or so, a few times a month. It'll like announce on the home screen like you got a text message, like a main notification. Hey man, your screen time was up by 19% for a staggering. And I'm like, I don't need the extra adjective there, but they're like, for a staggering, unhealthy, concerning 9 hours and 38 minutes. It's never been 9 hours, but it hasn't not been close to 9 hours before. Like, I try to convince myself, I work in social media, so it's also just a symptom of like, well, some of that was recording time, but I know the truth. I know the truth. It was also because it's also because I'm just so addicted to social media. It's really it's a curse, man. It's like, it could be fun to just make stuff on there, but I feel like the people who have the strength to work on social media but not digest it, they're like aliens to me. How are you doing that? How is that manageable for you? How is that possible for you? I just don't really quite get how people can, like, I saw a video once where someone was like, look, here's the deal. If you want to post on TikTok, make sure the bottom line is you don't consume anything until you've made and posted a video. And I tried that for a day. And then for those who don't have TikTok, the thing about it is, you know, imagine you're clicking like the Facebook app, right? You click it and then whoop, and it opens up and it's the home screen, like the home feed, right? Maybe I haven't been on there in a long time. Maybe there's an ad first. I don't know. But you click it and there's like the feed. Well, with TikTok, you click it, it's like whoop, and it's a video just starting. It's just a the video is just like you're sitting on the toilet. You're like, oh, I'm going to check out TikTok. Hey guys, well, check out my new hair care product that only you can have for a limited time. Don't skip this video. And you're like, okay. And then you're like, oh, I guess I'll scroll to the next one. And then your brain's like, dopamine, 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 you know? It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I've seen more interviews with celebrities than I ever saw in my entire life. And I never feel fulfilled by them because I'm always like, yeah, that's cool. I like that celebrity. That's, you know, an interesting, like, oh, what did, you know, Rachel Sennett think about, you know, making I Love LA for HBO? Or like, you're like, yeah, okay, cool. Or like, you'll see like a Golden Globe interview where, I don't know, it's just, you see these things and you're like, yeah, but it kind of lost its magic a little bit. Don't you think? And you see so much of the same thing. And like, I also feel bad for like beginner musicians who that's the only way they can really promote themselves is really like going on TikTok and like performing a video, performing like what they're, it's what they're, and like part of it's like, oh, great. You know, it's approachable. It's practical. It's accessible for anyone who wants to do it. But the problem is that, like, literally anybody can do it. So the higher quality sort of content or output gets lost in the spider web of, like, bad stuff. And also because there's so many fish in the sea now, it's kind of, I don't know. It just starts to become, like, a situation where you feel that it's less special. And that sounds awful because I want, like, I've taken advantage of that. Like, I have videos on YouTube. I have videos on TikTok. I have videos on Instagram. But, like, I also have felt many, many times personally in my, like, comedy niche that it's just such an overflow and, like, an overwhelming flow of, like, constantly, like, just constant new content, new people. The algorithm is always just, like, new. So, like, if you weren't famous, like by the time this, you know, like if you don't have a lot of money, if you're not like a Nepo baby, which kind of also means like having a lot of money, or you're not having a lot of connections, also underlying all of those things, having a lot of skill most of the time, then you're really not going to shine through the fog. You're not going to like come out of the woodworks and be like, it's like, hello, it's me you're looking for. And you're like, because there's a lot of talented people I've seen, but like you scroll and scroll and scroll and you're like, that person's really talented. Wow, that's a great guitar player. Oh, that's a really talented pianist. Oh, that's a really talented singer. But like, there's a gun to my head, could not name one. Maybe, oh, maybe Dermot Henry. Or Max Ricken. Dermot Henry and Max Ricken are the only two songwriters that I discovered through TikTok that whose names I can remember because I've, you know, like listened to their songs so much. But honestly, there's a lot of people that I've added their songs to my playlists because I discovered them on TikTok. And maybe that's also a good thing. Like, even if I don't know their name or I can't recall them in the moment, that they are getting streams. And so that, you know, if I give them like 50 streams, they get a penny, but at least it's something, you know. It's just such a, the social media world is just so weird in that way. It's very, you know, like, this is an odd topic. I'm just on a rant right now, but like with social media, when you are working in it, you have a split brain. The first part of your brain is like, I'm scrolling now because I'm looking for trends and ideas and inspiration, but also wanting to support, you know, other creators or see what big creators are doing that I like and that I admire. How did they shoot that? Or like, if there's really small creators just on their phone, like, is it funny? Or what choice in the editing did they make? So part of your brain as a creator is like convincing yourself that it's necessary for the work, which sounds like the drug addict trying to justify injecting heroin. But you're like, well, yeah, I mean, it is kind of like there is an aspect of like knowing what the trends are, which is beneficial. Sure. So you saw how I just made that circle where I was like, you get this brain, but then you justify it. And then I justified myself in the same sentence. The other half of the brain is just like full on slug brain, mud face, like addiction. It's just, you've lost the conviction of convincing yourself that it's worth it, that it's important, that it's necessary, that it's interesting, that it's inspirational. And you're just like, you're just scrolling, just dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. And all of a sudden it's been like 2 hours and you're like, I'm going to get started at 10 a.m. And it's like 10:15. 10:30, 10:48, 11, 12:30, 1 up. And Kiefer Sutherland just knocks down your door with a six shooter. Like, where's the president? Where are you keeping the president? My God. Yeah, it's a really wild business to be in. Because also, like, at the same time that I am, like, I think this divided brain thing is, I think is pretty relevant because both sides of them are like different trees, right? So, like, you would look and be like, oh, that's oak. And I always think of my grandpa. That one's cypress, right? So it's like, oh, that's oak. That one's cypress. On a face value kind of way, right? Like, that one is the this is for work, and sometimes it actually is for work, and I've convinced myself that it's productive to do so. And the other one is just like, so with that in mind, they're both trees, right? So they tree branch off, they go off in different directions, and they all branches of both trees do tend to in a certain way spread out, and there's never a positive ending to these tree branches. There's no leaf that blooms joy. But that wouldn't be completely fair. The one that you've convinced yourself that, like, looking at it for work is a good thing to do, it kind of like does lead to some ideas sometimes. So you have like a few tree branches that bloom, very few. Seldom at all, right? And they're like the kind of, you know, picky seasonal flowers. They're like, actually, it's cold in here, so I'm just gonna like fall off the tree or whatever. You know, and then you come back in the summer, it's like, are you done with all this nonsense? Turns autumn, you're like, I'm dying. This is too much. And it just repeats again and again. But the other tree branch, I think, doesn't have... That's also not fair. There's a couple of nice little branches as well. However, very few. And it's connecting to what I was saying before, finding musicians you wouldn't have heard. So I guess that's fair to say too. Both trees are like connected to the devil's backbone, but each tree has like one or two very small branches that do, you know, have a couple of blooming flowers of positivity. That would be something that would make sense for me I would feel fair saying that, you know, but the majority of the trunk is full of like slop and filth and hate and confusion. It's so weird going through, like, scrolling through TikTok or Instagram, for example, and it's like the most absurdly different content constantly. It'll be like an AI shrimp, and then it'll be like some model in like Paris Fashion Week, like, you know, doing like a get ready with me while we get ready for Paris Fashion Week. And it's like, yeah, well, we're clicking this because you started it like in your underwear, and then it'll go be, then it'll cut immediately to like, Treasury Secretary today here at the American, at the United States was, accosted by, protesters after President Trump sent in ICE agents to go shoot. It's like, okay, politics. Okay. And then I'll scroll again and it'll be some guy on stage at the Comedy Cellar. And it'll be like, yeah, so guys, what's everyone's deal with trees? Yeah. How about you make like a tree and you leave and then you skip it again. And then it's just like a montage of Jim Carrey clips where he talks out of his butt and then puts on the mask and he's like, somebody stop me. And then it's him from like the Truman Show. It's like, in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening and good night. It's so chaotic. It's too much. It's too chaotic. I don't really know how I got on that tangent, but my God, it's crazy. And it's so I was thinking about this a lot today because I was in a work meeting earlier today, and the company, which I can't divulge much because, I mean, it might not work out in the first place, but I can't mention things yet. But if it does work out, it's basically contributing to that culture, not in like a negative way, but it's just like, it knows it has to play the game. You know, it's maybe contributing was the wrong word, but like, or contributing, maybe that was the wrong word. It's more like you're seeing more established older companies, particularly also in Europe, which is in Germany, often 10 years behind American cultural choices. But I had a meeting with someone today and they were like, well, now we're 8 years behind. That was funny. But it's like now aiming towards instead of, you know, the agency that this company is working with going to like a television network or a media company to make commercials for public TV or to make advertisements that would go on the street or like in front of the, you know, commercials for like the cinema or something. Now it's focused on short form content. And that's how I was even involved with the whole thing. And it's, you know, it is just that culture. It is just that world. It does make sense to do that. It just does make sense to do that. It's smart of them, but also I was so hyper self-aware in the meeting itself. Like, I'm happy to do it, and I think I can be of service to this project, and I hope it works out just because it's something I feel like I know and can do, and of course like money. But you know what I mean, it's like so weird to be in a meeting with a large, like with an agency that's working with a large company, talking about the needs of the company and what they're asking for, and it's all about digestible short form content. And I wonder where that will lead. You know, like television is kind of dying, or, you know, it's on the last end. And that was something that I had like my whole life. And, you know, they're having to like cut costs. And you know, it's an odd feeling. It's like, where's the reliability of, like, what is the media that feels the most reliable? For me, like, I still see a lot of American late night talk show clips and like news clips and stuff like that on YouTube or, you know, or on TikTok. So I'm also a consumer of this, you know, change. Like I also, it's not like I'm like, I'm off the grid. I can't believe they would be doing this. I'm also a part of it. I don't believe, I am so like abhorrently against AI. Like I cannot stand how much AI is being used. I feel like there is, unless it is like contributing in like a scientific laboratory to help people find the answer to solutions that they could not do on their own because it has like this vast, you know, access to every published, you know, scientific paper. Except unless it was used in that capacity to benefit health or growth or development or progression or infrastructure, I don't like it and I will not use it. I remember there was like a month where I had ChatGPT and I was like, dude, I asked one question and I could just see water draining out of the oceans. It's just so horrible for the environment. And now it's like, you don't even have a choice sometimes, but this is off topic. But I will just say, I don't like using Google and then it being like, Google AI is like looking for your answer right now, dude. Just hold on tight, okay? looks like the blue whales are the largest mammals to ever exist, bigger than the dinosaurs. And I'm like, why didn't you just show me a website? Show me a .org. Show me a .org and let me go take a look, okay? But anyway, I'm also I work in that field and I'm a consumer of that material and that content, but I don't love that it's kind of killed cinemas and it's kind of killed television. I mean, in partnership with COVID. That's the big contributor there. That's often not mentioned in partnership with like how social media has affected, well, the globe. I wonder how different it would be if social media was still at the level that it's at. It might not have been different at all because we are, you know, addictive creatures. We're communal creatures, but we love also being alone. Technology is always trying to hook you in, you know, accepting cookies on the website and trying to, you know, target ads to you based on if you watched, you know, one video half a nanosecond longer than the other one. The algorithms and blah, blah, blah. It was already like heading in this direction. But I wonder sometimes how different it would be if there would be a difference had COVID not happened. Because I think that not as intensely or maybe as dramatically as 9/11. So bear with me. Not in the same way. But I think COVID had one of those long-lasting cultural sort of like stopping points, turning points that really, it changed. I think it really honestly changed the pathway that we were on permanently. I think it people were stuck inside. They were isolated. They were afraid. They were looking for answers. They started to not trust like pretty reliable medical and governmental sources, right? Trump was already in office in the States and he was a weirdo then. Not that he's not now, but he was like a weirdo, but you were like, okay, he's in office and he was already kind of pushing an agenda and trying to sort of build like a culture around his followers and beliefs and things like that. And then when everyone's stuck inside, isolation, like full-on isolation is a torture technique from the military, you know? When you get in trouble in prisons, you get sent to the hole. That is full-on, like, this, like, literally diagnosed through studies after studies after studies as like, actual torture. Not that people being at home is the same as being tossed into a, you know, a isolation at a prison or something. But it's on the same, you know, like, you're crossing a similar bridge because you're affected by the loneliness. And I think that drew so many people, far more people than maybe would have, into online forums, community groups, subreddits, online chat rooms, things like that, where they were so easily susceptible to the comfort of someone having an answer. You know, if you're feeling vulnerable and scared and alone, and then someone comes up and says, well, you know, you are like conspiracy theory people. Oh, God, my nose is so itchy. Sorry. But like if you're susceptible and lonely and afraid, and then someone shows up and seems, at least in your forums or like in your chat rooms or whatever, And they seem to be part of a group or leading a group or a whatever, like a chat. And they seem to have the answers. And when in a time like COVID, where people didn't know how long quarantine would last, or people started to doubt like if vaccinations were the right thing to do. And, you know, it was always like driving people indoors away from others into their computers. And I feel so certain that, like, yes, you know, it's in partnership with a lot of other factors, culturally speaking, but I think it had a huge shift on how media was affected by short form social media content. You know, I mean, that was when I started a TikTok channel. That was which led into me having, you know, a reasonable, you know, a nice Instagram following and like trying to build, you know, sort of a career in comedy, because I had done some music, and then, you know, like being isolated, being at home, being sort of, you know, unsure, vulnerable. I think also it's, you know, in the States, it's not just the States, but when there are people who just feel scared, people look for answers. And then when no answers arrive or arise, and they maybe also aren't like, when they're not maybe also taught by their guardians or parents to be critical thinkers, to question something, to like when someone's proposing an idea that sounds a bit odd, and not just like, you know, not odd in the sense of like, oh, get a vaccine. For me, that's not odd whatsoever. That's something that we've been doing for so long. But when someone's like scared or unsure, and you're isolated and you're on a computer, and maybe you're not like a very deep critical thinker, maybe you're just searching for, you know, I think it's very easy in that case to accept a conspiratorial solution before you face a harsher truth of just like, what you're seeing is what it is, and it's not good, and it doesn't feel good, and it makes you feel sad, and we don't know when it's going to end. A lot of people are not going to accept those harsh truths. That's just kind of how it is. I don't know. I went down such a rabbit hole here, but I think that was a major contributor to the like cinema. I think cinemas, you know, have died off so much because of COVID. And sadly, because TV as well, you know, like I love my, you know, late night talk show formats. I love, when I visit my parents and they just have the TV on and we're just kind of watching whatever, and then there's a commercial, I honestly don't mind it. You know, it's something about like feeling that there are other people also watching this. You feel kind of connected to a world. It's like when you watch a football game, like a Super Bowl or something, and you're like, oh, everyone's a part of this, you know. I was looking the other day how many people watched the finale of Seinfeld. It was something like 75, 76 million people. And then I Googled how many people tuned in for the Golden Globes that just took place in the States. And it was like 9.3 or something like that. It was between 9 and 10. And I thought, well, that's still good numbers. But whoa, what a drop, right? And of course, I'm watching Golden Globes in clips on TikTok and YouTube, which the majority of people, especially abroad, will do. I mean, unless I were to like sign up for some international thing and pay money. I mean, I paid money to stream the Oscars last year because, was it last year? I think it was last year or the year before. I think it was last year. I paid for a subscription thing for 1 month so I could watch the Oscars live as it happened because of September 5 and my friend Moritz being nominated. But that's like a rare occasion. You know, a lot of people are not going to pay for something like that for a month. And so they just see the clips. They just get the updates, you know, as they... Like, well, they just see the little updates as they are made into clips as it comes along. But yeah, wow, what a tangent. Whoa, oh, what a tangent this was, my God. Oh man. So, okay, I don't know how we got on quite such a ramble, but if you guys have not checked out Nia's, my previous episode with Nia, is it, oh man, I feel so bad. Is it Nia Yennefin? Yes, Nia Yennefin. Sorry, Nia, if you listen to this, sorry. He's a great American comedian who lives in Berlin. It's a little raunchy. It's a little raunchy. I cut out some stuff, but it's still a little raunchy. So if you are cool with occasional jokes going a bit off the rails, then definitely check that out. He's a very funny comic, and it was the breakout, as if it's like a word winner. It was the kickoff episode of 2026. I'm looking for, did I have something I wanted to announce here? Basically, I am... Yeah, getting back into full swing with making more in-depth content. Hopefully at some point you will see this on YouTube. And if not, then thank you for listening either way. And I am making music with Ben Hoff, the editor of the YouTube video that I just spoke about. The new live comedy show from last year's tour, the final version's finished. So we just have to get the high def version, do a little sound mixing, pop that bad boy out. Otherwise, guys, I know this was a bit of an oddball sort of rambling episode, but thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. I love you all so much, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.